ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Chapter 8, Text 14, The Story of Pingala. Nadigachet Striyam Pragna Karhi Chin Mrutyumatmana Baladikaiha Sahanyeta Gajairanyera Gajoyatha Nadigacheta Sriyam Pragya Karhi Chin Mrutyumatmana. In purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Na adigachet, he should not approach to enjoy. Striyam, a woman. Pragna, one who can intelligently discriminate. Karhichit, at any time. Mrutyum, death personified. Atmana, for oneself. Bala, in strength. Adike, by those who are superior. Saha, he. Hanyeta, will be destroyed. Gate, by elephants. Anye, by others. Gaja, an elephant. Yatha, just as. Translation: a man possessing intelligent discrimination should not under any circumstances try to exploit the beautiful form of a woman for his sense gratification. Just as an elephant trying to enjoy a she-elephant is killed by other bull elephants also enjoying her company, one trying to enjoy a lady's company can at any moment be killed by her other lovers, who are stronger than he. Purport: just as one is enchanted by the beautiful form of a woman, many other men will also be enchanted, and there is danger that they will be stronger than oneself and may even jealously kill one. Crimes of passion are extremely common. This is another disadvantage of material life. Om, I seek blessings from all Vaishnavas, each and every Vaishnava present in this room is worshipable for me, especially Her Grace Nartaki Mataji, His Grace Ekvarura Prabhu, Brajlila Mataji, all the senior devotees and brahmacharis. So this shloka, when I came to know that I am supposed to speak on this shloka, I realized that nothing happens in Krishna consciousness by chance. Everything happens by Lord's sweet will. And I thought that this is a most appropriate shloka by preparing, I can understand so many wonderful lessons from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this shloka conveys that how an intelligent discrimination is important to understand the ultimate benefit of an individual. As we know right from the birth, in fact, the discrimination starts even before birth of a child. And as soon as child is born, child tries to suck his fingers and see whether it's mother's milk or not. And then he feels, no, this is not mother's milk, this is something else. And as he grows, he tries to discriminate whether these are the known people, my parents, my mother, my father, or these are unknown people. Discrimination continues, what to choose, whether the right or a wrong, which school to go, which classes to go, which field of education should be taken. Once the education is over, what type of job is to be taken, whether this job or that job. Job is taken, what type of a spouse will come in the life, whether this spouse or that spouse. Marriage is over, which type of house, where to take a house, which area. House is taken, what type of society members, what type of people should I choose? Again, you have to discriminate. You try to become happy, you have a lot of money, where to invest, this scheme, that scheme. You become sick, you want to try and find which doctor, which hospital. So whole life is nothing but filled with a dilemma where you have to choose or discriminate between right or wrong. And as the life goes, the nature of this material world is such that it sucks you through these different dualities where you have to discriminate what is right and wrong. But as the time passes, one thing is for sure, that is death. There's a beautiful example of a chess. Many of us who have played chess, while playing chess, we try to win over the kingdom. We try to win over the horses, the soldiers, the elephant, the camel, queen, and try to win the whole kingdom. But once the game is over, the chessboard is folded. All the ingredients of that kingdom, they have to go inside a box, and game is over. Similarly, living entity like this game of chess tries to go through so many areas of discriminating to lord over this material nature. But like the chessboard, one thing is for sure, where there is no discrimination, that is as sure as death. Once body is over, then there is another dimension, that is a spirit soul. It is written in Srimad Bhagavatam that any science, you take any science of this world, that science is based on the faculty of discrimination. In our medical science also, this disease is there or not. This sign is not there, that sign is not there, so probably this disease is there. This sign is not there, that symptom is not there, probably this disease is there. Neti, neti. So every science is based on a faculty of a discrimination. And how do you become an expert in any field? His Holiness Hridayanand Goswami Maharaj writes very nicely, any expertise of the field is achieved by skillful definition of isolated and interactive components. Every science, every field has its own components, and there is an interaction between two components. And when we define, when we find a definition of this each individual components and try to understand the interactive forces between these different components, then we become expert in that particular field. I was trying to find a definition of a definition. What is a definition of a definition? An American Heritage Dictionary defines it very nicely. It says, the statement conveying fundamental character of any object or situation, that is a definition. Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, that amongst all the process of expert discrimination, I am that science of soul by which one distinguishes between matter and spirit. So ultimately, a Vaishnavas, a devotees, being in this material world, with the help of Srimad Bhagavatam, with the help of Acharyas, we have to come from this science of discrimination amongst matter and gradually elevate ourselves to the level where we can discriminate between the matter and spirit, and then ultimately try and understand the spirit and its another different components. So as this shloka explains, that like a male elephant trying to enjoy she elephant, other male elephants may kill that elephant who also wants to enjoy her. And here the word is used is intelligent discrimination. Prajna. Prajna. Prajna or prajna. That is a word which is used for discrimination or intelligent discrimination. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in different pages, there is another word which is used for intelligence and intelligent discrimination is Vivek Buddhi. So let us understand how a Vivek Buddhi or intelligence can get deluded by different modes. And one of the reason, one of the modes is a lust. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam pages, different pages explains us how a lust can completely delude someone's intelligence. And one example in Srimad Bhagavatam is very clearly explains, which is closest to this particular shloka, is the story of Draupadi and Kichak. Kichak is a brother of King of Virat. His wife, Sairendri, his brother is Kichak. Very powerful. He is practically de facto, he is a king of the entire Virat kingdom. Extremely powerful, lot of strength. And when Pandavas, in their incognito year, they are staying in Virat Nagari, and Draupadi, she is working as a maid servant to Sudeshna, who is a queen of King Virat. And that time, Kichak gets infatuated by Sairendri or Draupadi. And he makes all the plans and arrangements through Sudeshna, his sister, and he approaches Sairendri, Draupadi herself. And interestingly here, his object of lust herself warns Kichak that please do not try to do this particular act. But as he is blinded, the most powerful person in entire Virat kingdom cannot understand what Draupadi is trying to say. And then ultimately, as it is mentioned, that Bhima, the most powerful personality on the earth with strength of 10,000 elephants, he kills Kichak mercilessly. It is mentioned in Mahabharata that when they found body of Kichak in the morning, they couldn't recognize who is this person, because that body had no limbs, no legs, no head, and no neck. It was only through the clothes that Kichak could be recognized. And here, he was killed because he lost the power of discrimination because of the lust. We see in the story of Ravana how Mandodari, father-in-law, Ravana's father-in-law, Vibhishana himself, all these people had great affinity, affection for Ravan. And they tried to reason with him that please do not do this particular heinous act. But he did not listen. Once His Grace Shyamanand Prabhu in our core group meeting, he was saying that when two people who have got affinity, affection for you, and they, when they speak without knowing that them, each one of them have spoken, and then when they speak same thing to guide you, try to understand that, that is, these are the words of Krishna. Ravan had a guidance, two, three people, same people who had affection for him, but Ravan couldn't take these words of his own people, and ultimately that brings him ruination of himself and his entire kingdom. In the story of Pingla, we find that different bodily senses, through different examples of animals, how it brings destruction. Butterfly, through through butterfly's eyes, it gets attracted to fire and it gets completely destroyed. Elephant, by sense of touch. Fish, by the sense of tongue, taste. Musk deer, by the sense of the smell. Musk deer gets so much enamored by its smell that it loses power of discrimination and gets easily trapped by hunter. And the deer, by the sound of the horn, it gets entrapped by the hunter. So these are the five senses. And there are six shadaripus. Human being is always inflicted by kam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, and matsar. And these are the elements in the matter, how it can affect a living entity. And it can take, these elements can take living entity further away from a power of discrimination between matter and spirit. And it sucks him, sucks the living entity further and further into the elements of matter. Let us first take examples of pride. Pride leaves no one. Wali, the most powerful monkey who could defeat Ravan himself, that Wali, when he was challenged repeatedly after being won over Sugriva, and when Sugriva takes shelter of Lord Ram, and when he takes shelter of Ram, Sugriva goes and again challenges Wali. And that time, Wali, because of his own pride, couldn't discriminate that his death is coming. His own wife, Tara, tries to reason with him. Don't go. Something is wrong. But the pride makes one diff from the good words. And Wali goes and he gets destroyed. Story of Nalakuvera. We see how a pride of a high birth, amongst all the pride it is mentioned, that the birth, high birth pride is very, very strong in its nature. And when they were enjoying with other ladies, Narad Muni comes. And these ladies, they could immediately understand that the great personalities have come, and they left that particular area. If Nalakuvera had little understanding, they could have understood why these ladies have left. But the pride makes somebody insensitive, immune to the surrounding. And that's why they couldn't differentiate, they couldn't discriminate how to behave in front of the pure personality like Narad Muni. We see in the story of Jai Vijay, sometimes in our life, we get used to our services, our position, our particular situation so much that that becomes the way of our life. Jai Vijay have been the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha for unlimited time, uncounted time. And when four Kumaras, small children, in our life we know, okay, we do not take small children so seriously. We are used to. Either we speak to them very lovingly or we ridicule them. And Jai Vijay, as the doorkeepers of the Vaikuntha, they have been in that particular position for a long time. And when small children try to come in, they lose the power of discrimination, what is right and what is wrong. This is a risk. Sometimes we are devotees for a long time and we are doing our services for a long time. And a small situation which is unusual, which is not as per our routine, and that is a time we can make a mistake. And that is a time we can lose the power of discrimination. Many years back, I used to go to Belgaum. And after a heavy day, practically in dhoti kurta, I used to run and somehow catch the train. And that time, the train to get a ticket was very difficult. And you book a Tatkal ticket from a very long distance. And Tatkal, there is no boarding column where you are boarding this train from the Belgaum and not from the first station. And some invariably ticket is given to somebody else. And the ticket checker will come and you say, kya bhaiya, kya gaon se aaye ho kya? Are you coming from village or what? You are not educated? They see you in a dhoti kurta and they ridicule you. And then you say, somehow you request them, please give me ticket. I have booked my ticket. And they're fine, okay, show me your I card. And you give your I card and they see, oh, you are a doctor. Oh, you are from this hospital. Sorry. Please, forgive me. So it's natural that we remain in particular position for a long time. We are so used to our comfort, our position, that is a time we can commit an offense. And that is a time our discrimination can become little lax. There is also another element of envy. When somebody is envious, it's natural that he loses the discrimination between right and wrong. We see in the story of Daksha. Daksha is determined to perform his duties at any cost. He is a Praja Pita. Creating progenies was his service. And he was going that with his full determination. And it happens with us also. We are doing our service with full determination. And Daksha wanted at any cost his services to be performed. And any hindrance in his service, Daksha got disturbed. When Narad Muni sends his one after another children to become renouncements, Daksha gets very much disturbed and he commits a great offense of offending Narad Muni, the spiritual master himself. Power, position, name, fame blinds oneself. In the area of sacrifice, when Daksha enters, he has got so much of envy that his most beautiful daughter, who could have been married to a king or emperor, and she is married to Shiva, one who stays in a crematorium. This envy makes him so much of a... He gets blinded. It is written in Srimad Bhagavatam that even demons, they are always afraid about losing their prestige. Even a demoniac mentality is always careful to maintain their prestige, name and fame. But here, out of envy, Daksha completely loses the discrimination that in front of everyone, if he criticizes, if he offends Lord Shiva, it's going to bring complete ruination from him. But that is the power of envy. It is said that mother's love for the child is the highest love one can see in this material world. It is closest to the spiritual world, love of the Supreme Lord's love for the living entities. But we see in the story of Gandhari that Gandhari has got so much of envy against Mother Kunti. Mother Kunti's husband Pandu is a brother of Dhritarashtra. In our Indian social system, where a united family is a norm, it used to be norm, still it is there in the villages. In our Gujarat villages, two brothers are identified as Bhagya. Bhagya means jo bhag karata hai, one who divides. A father's property is divided amongst two brothers. So there is always an element of envy between two brothers after some time. Everything in the life, because they stay very close to each other, everything is ordained as per the envy of the other side. Whole generation passes, goes away in that envy. And here we see that when Gandhari comes to know that Mother Kunti has delivered Yudhishthir Maharaj when she was pregnant, before Duryodhan was born, that envy completely overpowered her motherly position. And she does something most unusual, most uncharacteristic of a mother, that she bangs her belly with such a force that the womb, the life force in the womb completely gets out of her womb. And it requires a great sage Vyasdev to save the situation. Now this is the nature of envy. That envy burns so much that it loses, it makes one lose the power of discrimination, what is right and wrong. Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with moh, examples of moh, attachment. How attachment can ruin someone? The most famous example of Dhritarashtra. Everyone, Dhritarashtra was covered with such great people. Bhishma Pitama, Vidur, Dronacharya, Vyasdev. And all along everyone was trying to tell him, please correct your ways. But his attachment for his son was so much that he could never discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. In our life, sometimes a joyous situation also can make us lose the power of discrimination. We see that in the most happiest situation, sometimes disaster strikes. At our hospital, it is during festival times we have to gear up for more accidents. We see that during festivals, maximum number of accidents all over the world, in a particular days and particular time in different countries, accidents do take place. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see one such occasion in Dwarka. The children, young children, teenage children, they are joyful, they are happy in their youthful activities. And one day, the children of Dwarka, they decide that we will have some fun. And they dress Samba as a pregnant lady. And all these young children, they try and approach the greatest of great personalities like Narad Muni and great sages who have visited Dwarka to perform various yajnas for the benefit of entire universe under the direction of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. And that is a time when there is a most joyous occasion, disaster strikes. The major accident takes place. That is, they offend Narad Muni himself. Who is going to take birth from this womb of lady? Please tell us, a boy or the girl. And that is a time when the entire destruction, the seeds for the destruction of entire Yadav dynasty takes place. It is said that when we are happy, The power of reasoning should never be left behind. Very likely that in the happiness, if we do not keep our sanity in place, recently the Premier Institute of Medical College from Delhi, 5 young budding doctors, they went for celebration of one doctor's birthday. They went in a car. The major accident took place. 2 doctors died. 3 lives were ruined. Also, opposite of the joy is sorrow. In a great sorrow, great depression of the mind, again we can commit mistakes. This is a March, April month. It is during the result time we see so many children commit suicide because the results are not as per their expectation. So when a great grief takes over, it also takes over the intelligence and power of discrimination. We see in Srimad Mahabharata that when Arjuna lost his dearmost son Abhimanyu, naturally a father's heart was filled with greatest of great grief. But that is a time the great Arjuna warrior, so many things were at stake, and that is a time he takes a vow that whatever happens, I will kill Jayadrath tomorrow before sunset. And if I don't kill, I will enter in a fire. And that is the time Arjun lost his balance of discrimination in this grief. And then Lord had to intervene himself in such a wonderful way that he created a sunset before actually sun was set. And then Jayadrath was killed. Many times, sickness, extreme bodily discomfort also clouds the one's consciousness. There was a research by Reader's Digest magazine, and they conducted the research from 20,000 accidents, and they said the maximum accidents take place when a long journey driver is about to finish his journey, because that is the time when driver is tired, exhausted, and that is the time his judgment gets faltered. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam that Maharaja Parikshit, when he was tired, when he was exhausted, when he was thirsty, he had no water, and that is the time he himself gets surprised. How can I do this particular act of putting a dead snake around a great sage? I can never think of doing such thing. But many times in our life also, we perform great services with great determination, great enthusiasm, without caring for our body, for our comfort. But sometime we have to give some time to our body, give a thought, the discomfort of the body, so that we can perform our services with better enthusiasm and better discrimination. Greed is another example. Srimad Bhagavatam says that greed is like a man in material consciousness. When he plans one after another activities in his life, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, I will do that, and then this, and then that, and then I will retire, and then I will do this, I will do that. Bhagavatam says, that is like a snake and a mouse game. He says, in a well, a mouse is planning so many things, but a snake in a form of a death, very quietly, with all intelligence and all attention, constantly watches that small mouse. And when the time comes, that snake grabs that mouse. We have heard from the acharyas the story of a man who was given a choice to choose a land, whatever land he can cover on his feet, that land becomes his own. But that has to be before sunset. And he tries to grab the land as much as possible, before sun sets. His greed sets his own life. That is the story of everyone in this material world. Many times in the life, certain activities, in spite of being done with all the precautions and care, still if you make mistake, then it is called prarabdha or destiny, where nobody can help. In the story of Maharaja Dashrath, the great king Dashrath, nothing in the life in which he had done which will create, which can people can put finger at point finger at him. But at one particular time, he cannot discriminate between the sound of an animal drinking water and a sound of a Shravana filling water. And that is the time that particular mistake costs him so dear in the form of losing his own dear Ram. So same thing in Vastraharan. The whole assembly was filled with great, great Maharathis, great, great thinkers. Five Pandavas, Pitama, Bhishma, Dronacharya, Vidur, all the 100 brothers. But nobody could at that particular time think what is right and what is wrong. Draupadi was asking, Draupadi was begging, please tell me, what is right, what is wrong. But the power of destiny, prarabdha, that time collectively nobody could find except Mahatma Vidur. But that also, whatever words his were not heard at that time. One aspect of this assured repose which we face most frequently and regularly, at least externally, is anger. Let us take a little closer look in this element of anger. In the story of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj, who has just taken a small sip of water after taking guidance from great brahmanas and authorities, after fasting for an entire whole year, Durvasa Muni, when he comes to know that he has taken water, his anger was like a furious snake. If you know about snake, a snake as such is very dangerous. But an angry snake is the most dangerous, where he doesn't know any discrimination and he can bite anybody and anyone. And Bhagavatam says that Durvasa Muni's anger was like an angry snake, and it was about to bite Maharaja Ambarish, who was standing with folded hands. The word which is used is Kruta Anjali. With both his folded hands, with all humility, he was standing there. And as we know, Durvasa Muni created a huge fire demon to destroy Ambarish Maharaj. It is said that anger is like a fire, which not only burns dry wood, but it also burns the wet wood. Anger takes you to the offenses beyond situation, beyond person, and beyond any reasonability. We see here that the great Maharaja Ambarish was about to die. There is no reasonability that a great demon was sent to destroy Maharaja Ambarish. But that is the nature of anger. In fact, anger even takes you beyond present. Anger takes you beyond past. And anger takes you beyond future as well. In the story of Dhruva Maharaj, this aspect of anger comes in a different form, in different situation, which leaves behind for us so many wonderful lessons. In the story of Suruchi, Srimad Bhagavatam mentions, when she got angry at a small, loving, childish act of Dhruv Maharaj, of sitting on the lap of his father, that's the most natural act any child will perform. And Suruchi's words are born out of Sa Irshayam, Sa Garvita. These are the words which are used for Suruchi, mother, stepmother of Dhruv Maharaj. Garvita, with pride. Irshayam, with envy. She had so much of envy against Dhruv Maharaj that she forgot that her words are going to create such a horrible future. It is said, words builds your future. And in the anger, Suruchi lost the discrimination of what to say and what not to say. Same time, even Dhruv Maharaj had anger. He was a child of a Kshatriya. Srimad Bhagavatam says, the way a snake is bitten by a stick, snake gets extremely agitated. And that was what was the position of Dhruv Maharaj. But he, at that particular moment, certain things, what Dhruv Maharaj does when he was angry, yeah, very, very remarkable. A small child, when he is angry, when he is stuck by his mother's words, one thing, he did not retaliate against his mother nor against his father. Very important. Second thing he does when he's struck by anger is that he leaves that area to prevent it from becoming an arena. Third thing, he took shelter of a superior in whom he had faith, who had affinity for him, and who is a Vaishnavi. And fourth thing which he did is immediately he took necessary steps to solve the situation, rather than he took a corrective step rather than confrontative steps. Generally, when we are inflicted with the anger, immediate steps we take is a confrontative. We try to confront the situation. Dhruv Maharaj takes the corrective steps. In the forest, when he is determined, he has left his home, he has left his entire kingdom, he has already put his time and energy in a particular activity which he was supposed to perform. And that time, Narad Muni enters in his life. And how he behaves with the Narad Muni, it's very, very instructive. Dhruv Maharaj was listening to Narad Muni's instructions. And if you go through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam in this section, Narad Muni speaks such convincingly that while reading, anybody will get convinced that yes, what Narad Muni speaks, that is how a devotee should behave. But here, Dhruv Maharaj, we see in the pastime of Maharaj Daksha, when he was determined to do certain things, any obstacle, he gets offended, he offends his Narad Muni. But here, small child, Dhruv Maharaj, his etiquette, a Vaishnava etiquette, in that uncomfortable situation where somebody is trying to dissuade you from your particular project, your particular service, which you are determined to do, how Dhruv Maharaj behaves? First, he glorifies Narad Muni. Then, he accepts his own ignorant state. He accepts his impudence for not following Narad Muni's instructions. He blames his Kshatriya race for not accepting these words. And He tells Narad Muni, my heart is like a clay pot which has been broken by the sharp arrows of the Suruchi's words. And that poor pot which is broken can never be repaired. And please, your words are meant for a Brahmana and not Kshatriya like me. And in entire this conversation of Dhruva Maharaj with Narad Muni, one thing appears very, very clear, that no, Dhruva Maharaj is very open about his heart and his desires. He is not duplicitous. And at the same time, being open and being not duplicitous, still he doesn't sway away from a Vaishnava etiquette. And that is what pleases Narad Muni very much. And that is how Narad Muni guides him as his spiritual master at the lotus feet of the Lord. Furthermore, in the pages of the same pastime, when Dhruva Maharaj's brother Uttama gets killed into the forest when he goes for hunting by a yaksha, Dhruva Maharaj gets very, very angry. And he goes with his entire strength to Amravati Nagari, the place where yakshas were staying. And he tries, he kills yakshas by unlimited number through his arrows. Each one of his arrows was expanding into three arrows. And at one particular time, point, it became clear that his anger was crossing the border of discrimination. What is right? What is wrong? Anger is like a fire. In a small amount, you can control. But when it reaches a particular proportion like a forest fire, then nobody can control it. And here, there enters the great Manu, his grandfather. The role of a Manu, person who tries to control the conflict. Characteristics of Manu are very nicely described. Manu has a compassion for a victim, for the yakshas. In a confrontation, there is a victim, there is an offender. Manu had a compassion for the victims. He had a concern, compassion for the victims. At the same time, Manu had a concern for the well-being of the offender as well. Very important. Many times we have seen that in a situation when confront takes place, there are two parties and a third person comes to control that confrontation, and the third person himself becomes a part of confrontation. And sometimes a part of the one of the two parties have to control the person who is trying to control the situation. And here, Manu, he is a senior by age and he is experienced by his existence. And he tries to control Dhruva Maharaj's anger in a very beautiful ways, words. And he tells, by your action, by your words, please pacify Kubera. Because if Kubera is hurt, if Kubera is offended, he will decimate our entire race. And here, the role of a Dhruva is seen that he listens. We have seen in the past, anger doesn't allow somebody to hear. But Dhruva Maharaja immediately gives his ears to the authority, Manu. And Manu says, ati roshena tamo dwarena papa mana. Excessive anger is a doorway to the hell. And immediately, Dhruva Maharaja follows the instruction. It's not that he walked away to his own kingdom. He went with his entire humility to pacify Kubera. This is very important. When there is a conflict, when there is egos are hurt, the most difficult thing is to accept position of lowliness, position of humility, and approach the opposite party. And here Dhruva Maharaj body language is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, Kruta Anjalim. He goes to the kingdom of Kubera with both folded hands. Sannataya, he pays obeisances. Prashraya, his body language is full of respectful behavior. Utkibiha, he uses extremely gentle words to address Kubera. And that's how he gently pacifies Prashadaya. He pacifies Kubera. And when Kubera comes, Kubera speaks very, very instructive words. He says to Dhruva Maharaja, Yat Tvam Pita Mahadeshada. Because of your grandfather's words, Vairamam Duschyajam Atyajaha. Enmity which is very, very difficult to control, you have Dhruva Maharaj given up. Because of the intervention of Manu, this Vairamam, the enmity, it is very, very difficult. But that you have been able to give up. And this is how the pleased Kubera asks Dhruva Maharaj, please take any benediction which you want. A potentially explosive situation between Kubera and Dhruva Maharaja because of appropriate intervention and appropriate acceptance of the intervention is transformed into a most benedictory, happy occasion. And what Kubera cannot give, Kubera can give anything. And here, Dhruva Maharaja asks, Dhruva Mahabhagavato Mahabhatmati. Srimad Bhagavatam says that the most intelligent, Mahamati words translation is given as a most intelligent or a thoughtful. Now the intelligence has been repositioned, thoughtfulness have regained, and what Dhruva Maharaj asks in that state of mind? Haro vavre achalitam smrutim yaya. Tarati ayatena duratyayam tamaha. Let me remember unflinchingly the Supreme Lord Shri Hari, which helps one to cross over this unsurpassable ocean of nascence without difficulty. And then Kubera grants him this most precious benediction to Maharaja Dhruva. So here there is one interesting comparison, that Dhruva was a child. He was inflicted with a great anger. And Sringi, a son of Brahmana, he was also a child. He was also inflicted with great anger. Dhruva Maharaj was angered by his mother and his passive action of his father. And Sringi was angered by offense against his father. But Sringi, along with anger, Sringi had a power. He did not took guidance. Because of his power, without taking in guidance, he immediately took action, a confrontative action. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj had an anger, but he had no power. And because he had no power, he took shelter of appropriate guidance. So sometimes in our life, we come across situation where we have been taken advantage of, we have been not appropriately, unjust actions have been done against us, and we become very, very angry. And most of the time when we are angry, the next thing which follows in our heart is extreme level of helplessness. And this helplessness, sometimes we condemn within the core of our hearts. I wish I had a power. I wish I had an ability. I wish I had a capacity to mitigate this situation. of humiliation and unjust behavior. But that very helplessness is not a curse, but it's a benediction given by Lord. It is that helplessness prevents us from committing unjust actions born out of the anger in our life. In The Power of Discrimination, we see great examples how an intervention of a pure devotee brings this power of discrimination. We saw how Narad Muni and Suniti helped Dhruva Maharaj. In the story of Ramanujacharya, great Ramanujacharya, his disciple was Dhanurdas. And Dhanurdas had a great attachment to a lady who had a very, very beautiful eyes. And he lost the discrimination of how to behave in a public. Not only in a public, but in a public when a great saint, when the procession of a supreme lord is going, he lost the discrimination. He was simply looking into the eyes of that lady whom he had an attachment. And the intervention of a pure devotee, Ramanujacharya, transforms that attachment, not only that attachment to the supreme lord Sri Hari, that object of attachment still remains in Dhanurdas's life. That lady becomes his wife. But the attachment is transformed. Of both of their attachment is transformed to the Supreme Lord. Not only that, a pure devotee uses same Dhanurdas as an example to break the attachment of his great stalwart renounced devotees. When they had envy against Dhanurdas, Ramanujacharya utilizes Dhanurdas to make them understand how an attachment to the renouncement also, it is said that sometimes somebody has nothing, still somebody can be very much proud of that nothing also. Also, Mahatma Vidur, he brings the great Dhritarashtra to his senses. Intervention of Mahatma Vidur, a pure devotee in the life of Dhritarashtra, who has been, everything has been lost in his life. And from nothing, Mahatma Vidur tries to bring him as closer as possible, at least up to the level of merger into the Brahman. He is not happy. Mahatma Vidur is not happy with Dhritarashtra's liberation. But still, at least from the point of attachment, from there, he is bringing him to the particular level. So let us see in a life amongst Vaishnavas, we see it is our great fortune that by being in Srila Prabhupada's movement, we come across so many Vaishnavas, and through different experiences in our life, we come across so many devotees who have got this great power of discrimination. What is right and what is wrong. Let us see the common characteristics amongst Vaishnavas which helps them to come to the level where they can discriminate between right and wrong. One common characteristic is strong sadhana and strong spiritual understanding. That is the basis. That is the sadhana and Srila Prabhupada's books which brings the mindset of an individual devotee into the state of equilibrium. Also, commonly seen amongst these Vaishnavas is a selfless attitude. Prayerfulness to Guru and Srila Prabhupada. I know one Vaishnava, I asked him, Prabhuji, how do you manage in such a difficult situation, such a major project? And he said, Prabhuji, every situation I always try to pray in my heart, how can I serve my spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada through that situation? Also, keeping Srila Prabhupada's movement as a top priority, compassion to help, desire to help, ability to listen, and capacity to absorb those instructions. Humility. Accepting interventions of seniors. Non-judgmental attitude. Somebody told me, it's better to be not in the mode of judgment and better to be in the mode of observant. Be an observant, don't be in a mood of judgment. Impeccable character. These Vaishnavas always have proven to have an impeccable character. Transparency in their dealings and maturity. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was telling to His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhuji that maturity means to have a sensitivity and to have a courage. If you have only sensitivity, you will not advance. If you have only courage, you will leave behind trails of broken hearts. But if you have a sensitivity and courage together, that translates into being a mature. There are situations where Lord tests His devotees' power of discrimination. Lord puts that particular Vaishnava in a situation where He wants to glorify that particular Vaishnava by testing His power of discrimination. We saw Dhruva Maharaj. How Dhruva Maharaj was tested by Narad Muni. Narad Muni tried to dissuade him, but Dhruva Maharaj was determined in his desire to achieve what he wanted. We see in the life of Arjuna, when Ashwatthama, the most heinous act when he performs of mercilessly killing 5 young boys of Draupadi, Arjuna promises Draupadi that I will bring the head of Ashwatthama. And when I will bring that head of Ashwatthama, then and then only I will wipe the tears from your eyes and pacify you. And then after burning your son's bodies, you can take your bath standing on the head of Ashwatthama. Imagine, this is a vow, this is a promise which Arjun has given to his own dear wife. And when Ashwatthama was captured, mercilessly beaten, Pashuvat Pashbadha, like an animal he was beaten and like an animal he was tied. And that is the time Lord Krishna tells him, kill him. Don't leave him alive. He is an aggressor and he should be destroyed. And that is the time when Arjun brings Ashwatthama in front of Draupadi. Draupadi, out of her all gentleness, she's a gentle lady. She gets up out of respect for Ashwatthama. And here, Srila Prabhupada in his purport mentions a beautiful lesson for all the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada writes that Draupadi, out of her gentleness, got up and gave respect to Ashwatthama, although he did not deserve that respect to be a twice born. And Srila Prabhupada writes that a Vaishnava should be gentle, but a Vaishnava should not leave a power of discrimination between what is right and what is wrong. And now, in our dealings as a Vaishnava, we have to be gentle, we have to be humble. But what is right and what is wrong, that discrimination we should not give up in our day-to-day activities. So now Draupadi tells Arjun, please do not kill him, leave him. Same Draupadi tells, leave him. Reasons, he is a Brahmana. Drona is living through him as a son. Kripi should not go through the same pain which I have gone through. And when a Kshatriya gives trouble to a Brahmana, whole Kshatriya race gets destroyed. Example of Parshumram was very much alive in Draupadi's mind. And at that time, Draupadi's reasoning is accepted by Yudhishthir Maharaj, Nakul, Sahadev, Arjun, and Lord Krishna and Satyaki. Everybody agrees to Draupadi's words. But one person, Bhima, is disagree. And Bhima says he is an aggressor and he has to be killed. And that is a time, one side Bhima is about to kill Ashwatthama, one side Draupadi is about to save Ashwatthama. And Krishna, that time standing between the two, Srimad Bhagavatam mentions the word as Chaturbhuja. Krishna as Chaturbhuja, and Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. That is the time with two hands, Krishna was trying to hold Draupadi, and with two other hands, he is trying to hold Bhima. And then Krishna tells Arjuna, smilingly, Krishna is trying to judge the power of discrimination of his disciple Arjuna. He tells, he is an aggressor, although he is a Brahmana, please destroy him. At the same time, you have to satisfy me and Bhima, and at the same time, you have to fulfill your promise to Draupadi, and at the same time, you have to respect the words of Draupadi. And Arjuna understands what is there in Krishna's heart. Srimad Bhagavatam uses the sentences, Arjuna sahasagnaya harer harda. Effortlessly, Arjuna understood at that very moment the essence of Lord Hari's instruction. Harda, harer harda, the essence of Lord's heart, what Lord Krishna wanted, Arjuna immediately understood. And he, with his swords, cuts off the hairs of Ashwatthama's head, removes that most precious jewel from his forehead, and disrespecting him without any house, without any place to stay, throws him out of the village. And that last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that this is equivalent to death. When a Brahmana is insulted, thrown out of the village without any place to stay, his hair is cut, and mostly and most appropriately for Ashwatthama, when he was thrown out, he was as good as killed. At the same time, he was not killed. That is how Lord tests the power of discrimination of his devotees. In the story of Bhishma Pitama, we see that Lord Bhishma had that desire to see Lord in a chivalrous, in a very vir ras. And that particular time of the war, Duryodhan had chastised Bhishma Pitama jokingly that you are not fighting because you are a grandfather of Arjuna. And Bhishma Pitama took this insult, even though it was jokingly, very, very seriously, and decided, tomorrow I shall kill Arjun. And I take a vow that I will force Krishna to take the weapon in his hand, or otherwise, if Krishna doesn't take weapon, Arjun will have to die. Very, very serious vow. Krishna has already taken a vow that I will never ever take any weapon in this war. And then Bhishma Pitama says at the end, his deathbed, that Swanigama Pahaya Mat Pratigna. My Lord, for my desire, for my own desire, my own vow, you gave up your own vow? You gave up your own promise just to fulfill my desire? One side is the life of Arjun. If you take a weighing scale, one side was the life of Arjun. One side was the promise of Bhishma Pitama. And Krishna uses breaking of his own promise as a pivot of that weighing scale. And he balances both the things. That is the beauty of a Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. Arjun is begging to Lord. He is holding the legs of a Hari. Please don't pick up the weapon. You have promised. Don't pick up the weapon. And Krishna is angry on Arjun. Don't. You know, we have seen very fight, na? Two people are fighting and somebody is trying to hold. Leave me. Krishna is angry at Arjun externally. And from internally, he's happy that Arjun is preventing him from going towards Bhishma Pitama. Krishna is angry at Bhishma Pitama because he has given him so much of a wound through his arrows. Blood is flowing through Krishna's body. And at the same time, Krishna is so happy at Bhishma Pitama. So many discriminations simultaneously being fulfilled, that can be done only by Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. In Vrindavan, there is a village called as Petha. And that is the place from where Krishna entered the cave to lift the Govardhan. And surprisingly, the deity of that particular temple is forearm form, Chaturbhuj. The story is very beautiful. How Supreme Lord decides what is right and what is wrong for himself. Krishna entered a gopi's house that day to eat buttermilk and makkhan. The vessel is tied on the top so that Krishna doesn't eat that. Somehow with some or other objects, some ladder, something Krishna uses, and he goes on that particular matki, that vessel, clay pot. The clay pot is tied to the roof with the four ropes. Krishna is small. And as soon as Krishna goes on that pot, that object for which he had climbed falls off. So now only Krishna on that pot, nicely swinging. Nothing around, nobody around. And he starts eating the sweetest of all sweet makkhan. Not with only right hand, with left hand as well. Optimum utilization. And he started eating. And then disaster struck. What happened? Some gopi came? No. Somebody came? No. Krishna's dhoti started becoming loose. Oh my, this is a disaster amongst disasters. What to do? Whether to eat makkhan or whether to tie dhoti? What is right? What is wrong? Oh, so difficult to decide. And you can't give up this makkhan. It is so sweet. I can't give up this makkhan. At the same time, I can't allow this dhoti also to fall off. So that time, the supreme discriminator uses his power of discrimination. While eating makkhan, he manifests his two more hands. And with those hands, the dhoti is tied. So in this pastimes memory, the Krishna in that deity, in that temple, is of a Chaturbhuj Krishna. The same power of discrimination, how pure devotee manifests in their lives. There is a story in Srila Prabhupada's Leela that once His Grace Madhudvisha Prabhu, a great disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he left his body some time back. And other disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Yamuna Mataji, Her Grace Yamuna Mataji, they had a discussion, very healthy discussion. And Madhudvisha Prabhu was saying that Krishna's primary identity is as a brother of Balram. And Krishna's expansion is Balram. And he is a brother of Krishna. And Yamuna Mataji had a point that no, Krishna is primarily Radhika Raman. He is the Lord of Radharani. And then there were different arguments from the both sides, and ultimately nobody come to conclusion. So that time His Holiness Kamal Krishna Maharaj, he came into the picture and he heard both of them, and he also couldn't find out a solution. So they decided, let us go and meet Srila Prabhupada. And they went to meet Srila Prabhupada, and Madhudvisha Prabhu from his side started putting points that Krishna is the brother of Balram Balaram Ji's first expansion, Raman Reti, Prabhupada, this Lord Krishna Balaram. And Prabhupada said, yes, you are right. Krishna is primarily the brother of Balaram. And then Yamuna Mataji came with her points that she is the, Krishna is the Lord and Master of Radharani. And that is, he is the Lord and Master of Radharani. And she gave so many other reasons. And Prabhupada said, you are right. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was confused. He said, Srila Prabhupada, one of them can be right, both of them cannot be right. And Srila Prabhupada said, you are right. And then, when they were walking, somebody said, Srila Prabhupada, who is right? Srila Prabhupada said, you decide amongst yourselves. So that's how, in the spiritual world, in the realm of a spiritual world, there can be one side right, there can be other side right, there can be both the side right, and everyone will can be right in the spiritual realm. There's one story in our life that how an intervention of a Vaishnava can bring the amazing spiritual transformation. When we were searching for our hospital place, we had searched from practically every place in Mumbai, we had searched. And ultimately we zeroed down to a place was around 3 hours from Radha Gopinath Mandir. Very nice upcoming township, educated people were staying. Place was next to station, very potential place. And we thought that this is a very good place. The original group of doctors decided that yes, this should be our place for our hospital. But there was this little problem. Our wives were not in the favor. They were thinking that by going such a far away, we will lose our connection with Radha Gopinath Mandir. We had our own reasoning, our own points that Mumbai is such a heavy crowd, such a cutthroat practice, how will we be able to maintain so much of different type of practices, how will we be able to maintain our Krishna consciousness and sanity? They had their own reasoning that such a far away. And then matter was brought to Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. He came all the way to see that place. As usual, he asked each one of us all of our opinion. And then he said, if you are going to travel 3 hours from the Radha Gopinath Mandir one way, what will happen to your Krishna consciousness? Anyway, doctors are so busy practicing. I am concerned about your Krishna consciousness. And then he said, find something within 1.5 radius, 1.5 hour traveling time radius from Radha Gopinath Mandir. We searched again. We had searched everything except Mira Road. And then we zeroed down in Mira Road. We had finalized one shop, one gala as our first clinic. We brought Maharaj over there. Maharaj came. He put his lotus feet down on the land and he took a fresh breath. And he said, this place has a fresh breath. And then he approved of that particular place. And then rest is a history. So intervention of pure devotee, if it would not have been there, probably we would have been somewhere far, far away in a small place, nursing home. Probably we would have been in most miserable situation. But because of a pure devotee's intervention, he gave us the right direction, right intelligence to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mataji's, any comment? Prabhuji's, any comment, any question? जय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। हरि बोल। जस्ट वन स्मॉल कॉमेंट अनाउंसमेंट प्लीज। दिस इज द 75th एनिवर्सरी ऑफ बैक टू गॉड हेड मैगजीन। ऑन दिस ओकेशन टेम्पल हैज ऑर्गेनाइज्ड बीटीजी सब्सक्रिप्शन मैराथन। दिस विल बी फ्रॉम 15th अप्रैल 2018 टू 15th मई 2018। Languages are English, Hindi, Marathi, Gujarati, Telugu, Oriya. The subscription cost is Rs. 250 per entire year. BTG is the backbone of ISKCON and it only costs 68 paisa per day. So please subscribe for yourself and also encourage your friends and relatives to subscribe. If you can do hand delivery to them, it will be great. Please contact BTG stall downstairs. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. There are three more announcements. Two are from base. First is, there is Bhakti Shastri course which is starting today. It will be on every Sunday. The speaker will be His Grace Shrikant Krishna Prabhu. And timings will be from morning 10:30 to 1 p.m. The venue will be base classroom. Eligibility will be completion of JOSD course and 8 rounds of chanting. And recommendation from counselor or mentor. There is a Bhakti Vaibhav course also starting today and it will also be every Sunday. The speaker will be His Grace Mukund Mala Prabhu and timings are from 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. The venue is same, base classroom. Eligibility is Bhakti Shastri completion. So passing certificate will be required. To register both of these courses, you can register online also, www.bschopati.com, or you can call Binith. The number is 877-928-2602. I'll repeat the number, 877-928-2602. You can call him in between 8 a.m. morning to night 9:30 p.m. Today, Varisht Vaishnava meeting after morning breakfast prasadam is at Lakshmi Narayan Hall at 10:30 a.m. There is a speaker from Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He is a dermatologist doctor and he will give lecture on skin disease and their remedies.